Welcome to the Sacred Sisterhood Podcast. I'm your host, Shani Lim, an internationally certified tantric practitioner. This is where you are going to discover all things love, sex, and relationships through powerful tantric and holistic teachings where you can bring awakening into the body. Come on this journey to release, open, and step into your true essence as a woman. Just want to welcome you to another episode of the Sacred Sisterhood, and I have Stephen Chamblay here, amazing last name, who I have connected with across social media, and I enjoy his message and everything that he is about and what he does and the service that he provides the world, and I would love to share that with you here listening to us today. So, Stephen, can you please let me know and let everybody else know who's listening what it is that you do for the world and how you are of service?
I love that. Thank you for that introduction. So my name is Stephen Chamblay, and I'm from America. Born and raised, I actually even served in the military for a number of years, like 13 years in the U.S. military, United States Air Force. So we all have a long story, and yeah, it could be long, short version, basically, from just like a middle-sized kind of town in New England, United States, and middle-class family, Black and Puerto Rican. My dad's Black, mom's Puerto Rican, so a lot of indigenous and roots and heritage in there. Had a lot of it growing up and discovered it later on. Then when I was about 19 years old, I left for the Air Force. I was stationed in Germany and New Jersey for the better part of like 10 years, traveling all over the United States, all over the world, teaching, doing a lot of things with emergency management was one of my main things. So kind of when there's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack or anything, making sure you're coordinating all the resources. Went to school and was active duty in the military, went into the Guard, which is kind of just 1 week in a month, and then I completely exited, and it's all been a part of my awakening, and there was like some different things that coincided, like COVID was one of them. COVID-19 helped me to really move out of the military completely, and even for a lot of reasons, but then I kind of found this healing. I had been, while I was transitioning from active duty to the Guard, I was already finding spirituality and like more of this path and kind of some of the new age spiritual stuff also mixed with my heritage that I had known. And then just more practice of it, more exposure to it, leaning into it, going to doing plant medicine retreats and ceremonies and circles and Reiki certifications and yoga classes, and just doing all the things, come to find my practice and what I do in the world, which really centers around holistic health, somatic healing, because holistic is kind of just everything. So people can kind of come to me and say, this is what I need help with. And I'm going to say, okay, I can help you. And you're going to have to look at all these different pieces. So, and some people, their access point is something specific that is well within my reach of holistic health, so we'll kind of focus on that, and then everything else kind of just works itself out.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing all of that.
Of course.
So I have a question around like your history. You said like your journey to awakening and spirituality came after the military, well, during kind of like transitioning, and then your history as well. So like, is it your mom and dad who kind of like also had a lot of spiritual, I guess,
connection,
yeah, while you were growing up, and that was kind of like something that always sat with you, and then it kind of just, you came to a place in your life?
Yeah, basically. So my mother's Puerto Rican, and they're from Puerto Rico, like dirt floor poor in Puerto Rico, moved to New York in the United States, came up from nothing and did well for themselves, like nothing crazy. But, you know, the American dream, you get there, better life for your kids than you had. And so we had that American, really like continental United States American, but then we had that island roots, and because they came from there, so like a lot of my uncles, my grandmother, the cooking, my mother, just there was some, definitely some. And my mother, my grandmother, actually, she had an aloe plant. And I actually, when I was in like middle school, high school, my best friend stupidly shot me in the face with a paintball gun, and it hit me right under my lip. And it was burnt and swollen and cut. And my grandmother had an aloe plant, and we got it. My mom cut a leaf off and said, put this aloe on all the time. I did it, and I never scarred. And I always remember, I was like, wow, that was so amazing. So like, there were little things, even though they don't, like, the explanations sometimes are not always there, but that wisdom is there. So I did have some of the when I was younger, and then, you know, found my path. And yeah, it was interesting. I had my awakening as I was going through the military. Like one of the things, like 9/11 in the US, which is very notable terrorist attack, and how it shifted. And you know, there's the conspiracy, the false flag, there's all of that stuff. But regardless of whether it's a conspiracy or not, it is indicative of the media and what is told, and that kind of, all that stuff, kind of just the discrepancies and weird things with the news and everything. I started to wake up and like, something's a little bit off here, you know. And so that, coupled with my, you know, younger childhood, I started to find it. I'm like, okay, this seems right. Like nature and fire and plants and everything that's growing naturally, and the seasons and being in the sun and being in the water and breathing fresh air, it all is just like, this just makes sense. It's not even like some radical new idea. This is literally just how they've been living for so long. So that kind of is how it came together.
And that's beautiful. It's very interesting, isn't it, how we've been so conditioned to in society to like, oh no, we need to be in a house and like all of this other stuff in front of the TV. And like,
exactly.
It's like, it's so disconnecting for our physical body to be able to thrive in such a environment, you know. Yeah, it has its beauties about it in like, you know, doing a podcast like this, but also it's like, get outside and really, you know, put your feet on the earth and really connect with your physical body as well as what nature can provide you as well. And I know that there's a lot of studies done around that too.
For sure.
So what is it exactly that I can see that you provide people?
That's a great question. So my services are varied. I have a long list of services. It kind of started around Reiki and energy work and body work and massage, and that kind of spread to other things. Like there's a thing called a cuddlist, right? People who are professional cuddlers who will do that. So I have that portion kind of embedded in, and also like talk therapy. Cause you know, I actually was been seeing on social media, there's this guy in Japan who he literally decided to rent himself out to people to do nothing. Like they don't want him to talk. They just are lonely and they just want like a silent companion so they don't feel so alone. So there's just a connection that we all want to feel. So how people can feel that connection from me, a lot of times it is the hands-on work. And then there's the talk therapy, being the venting and just talking it out. And then there is education around, especially fitness and nutrition. That's a big one that I offer. And then with all that holistic health combined, I do like life coaching as well. I do some tarot, some readings, and kind of, I do a lot of different things, and it has really evolved with the body work and with the energetics of it and the physicality of it. I am a physical person, and I think that a lot of us are. And I know that I'm able to direct my energy physically. I'm able to direct it other ways, but it's presence, right? It's like just being present with somebody. And so that part of my service, and then I figured, I was thinking like one of my missions is to help people like unionize their masculine and feminine energy, right? And so like I started doing that within my own stuff, and then I was realizing how I have high masculine energy and a masculine energy that women want, especially when they are in certain times. So another service I offer is a moon time medicine, is what I call it, where a woman on her cycle, her moon, her menstruation, however you want to name it, a little extra comfort. And so that kind of goes into the massage. So there's a lot of services: massage, Reiki, energy work, body work, education, training, classes, events. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. It all sounds so beautiful. It sounds like you've really tapped into being able to have that real safe, secure space for a woman to be able to be held in her mess, you know,
yes,
in
exactly.
that Shakti, is it the Shakti? No, the crazy
yeah.
energy, I can't remember.
Yeah, Shakti, Kundalini, all of it.
The Kundalini, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. It all sounds really beautiful. I love the cuddle session. I'm like, oh, I'm such a cuddler. I love it yeah. so much. It's so beautiful. When I seen it on your thing, I was like, oh, yeah, that would be nice.
You're so sweet. I actually, yeah, it's interesting because I also do, again, holistic health, right? Holistic is everything. It's going to encompass physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, social, and sexual. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, the sexual is really taboo and can be, and what people don't understand is, like I said, it comes down to presence. It really comes down to intimacy and feeling that connection. And sexuality is a powerful access point, even though there are other access points as well. But when you can kind of combine and kind of overlap and see where you can meet in the middle, there can be physical intimacy, even if it's non-sexual, and it still feel very close because it's an access point to the same closeness and presence. So with the cuddling, it's like we're all physical creatures. And think about even, I always go back to nature. Think about when we are being born and formed in our mother's wombs, we are being held and we have that constant touch and connection. And then we're born and we come out. And then it's like, especially a Western society in America is like, let the baby cry it out. They got to learn to do it, soothe themselves and all that. And while that is true, it's like, we are forgetting such an innate quality and need that for human touch. So the cuddling is a great way to get that need filled without some of the pressures of the sexuality and the sexual nature. And still, I'm not afraid of that. It's part of the holistic. So I'm like, if somebody wants some type of, it doesn't have to be like overtly sexual, and people could call it sex work, even though I'm not really like, it's not sex for money. Yeah. It's sexual energy encoded into the session and into what we're doing. And yeah, I had a video, I realized that people really were liking it because I have all types of content. Some of it is explicit. And then I have also vanilla content. And one of it was vanilla and it was safe for work. And it was me kind of rocking this woman and like kind of stroking her back and her hair and like just breathing. And that was really well received. And people, like you said, they're like, oh, I would love that. And I would pay for that. And I want that. And I need that. Yeah. And another one, I was brushing her hair and just brushing her hair. And that one, it was so well received, and it's received well by me. So I love it when it's also received well by others.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that you're able to share your gift that way. I'm like, yes, I love somebody plaits my hair in a really slow, I know it's such a weird thing, but I'm like, it's like present that goes into plaiting my hair, especially because it's curly.
I love it.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful gift that you have to be able to give, you know, all of these women. Do you work with men as well, like to be able to show them how to provide this safe, beautiful, grounded presence with women?
That's a great question. And the answer is yes. You know who is more demanding, not in a bad way, but it's more in demand for me to teach is women. The women are like, you need to teach this. Why aren't you teaching it? Are you going to have a class? So we have started to move towards that. There is, I would say, the more resistance is coming from men. I do work with men. More women tend to feel more kind of drawn to me and attracted to me. I do have, you know, gay men and stuff that also want to work with me. But you know, everyone, it's got to be the right, because when we do have this kind of sexual chemistry or just it's energy, and when it's present, and some people can kind of deal with that in a more professional way and some people can, and it just gets very murky, and it has to be clear communication.
Yeah.
And people can only meet you as deep as they have met themselves. So if they don't have deep communication with themselves, it's going to be difficult for them to have that deep communication with you. So, but at any rate, it is, yes, teaching. And one of the first ones that I started doing, we had a female squirt shop is what we call it. It's like, we call it a play shop. It's a pleasure shop.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I actually wrote it down. I was like, I need to ask about this. What is this?
Yes. Okay. Perfect. Okay. I love it.
Workshop about it. Oh my God.
So that was one of the big, so pleasure is our birthright. pleasure is mm-hmm. pleasure and pain, sensation, feeling, emotion, all of that is what makes you feel alive, makes you feel human. And a lot of people kind of get, and especially in the new age spirituality, a lot of people kind of get in this, oh, this avatar that I'm in, this body, and it's so limiting. And while that has some truth, it's how you focus on it. Because if you focus on it, it's like our body is literally the vehicle we have been given to move through this reality. It's a gift and it's divinely created. Obviously, our circulatory system and our central nervous system, just all these body systems. And you mm-hmm. are, we are capable of literally feeling so much pleasure, especially who? Women, right? And you have.
Because we're multi-orgasmic exactly. and it can just keep pumping out. I've experienced that. It's like we can create our own portal. I know that. Literally, it's so awesome.
Literally. So yeah, women are multi-orgasmic. That's y'all's, it's a superpower and it's like such a blessing. And it's like, people are not tapping into it for some reason.
I know.
Whether that's, it's a lot of shame and guilt that's passed on religious, societal, familial. And so I work a lot with unashaming that. So that's why I talk about this stuff and squirt. And I pay attention. I don't do things just because people respond online or in person, but I do notice what gets more attention, of course. So squirt was one of those things that was like a divisive topic and just so many people, hundreds of comments, like people arguing and people just agreeing and people like saying funny stuff and sexy stuff and everything. And I'm like, what is going on? Where is our cohesion? Because this is something that some, basically there are women who are split on it and men. And so even women of the same gender who have those same parts are still not finding their common ground. I'm big about common ground and like coming together, like I said, with the masculine and feminine. So I'm like, okay, why are women against this? If what was one of my thoughts. And then I was like, and then, you know, I try to really see from everybody's point of view. Like, I don't want people to think that I am like racist. It, not that I care, but like, I'm not like racist or sexist or anything like that. So I want to be careful. Yeah. I don't want to mansplain, right, to a woman about her body. And it is true. What happened was I literally had this trend of making so many women squirt to the point where it was like, okay, I understand that it's your body and I'm not going to mansplain it to you. But I will tell you that I have seen and, you know, made more women squirt than you have, basically. Like, I have more experience. I get it. I don't have a yoni and I get that. And I'm not saying I do, but I have worked with more than you have. You know what I mean? So
it became this kind of
trend. And then I had a lot of women who, like you said, they're like, you need to teach guys to do this. Like, this is like, it needs to be taught. And it all resonated with me because squirt has ancient ties in Sanskrit and Ayurveda of, it's called Amrita is the name of it. Yeah, and that is like literally the fountain of youth. And they say they have like tantra, Kama Sutra drawings of it. And like, you know, these energetic, you know, drawings showing it coming out of the woman and drinking it. And it's talking about a man who is basically lucky enough to drink this elixir of life should drink happily and heartily. And it's like, and it's actually interesting because it's kind of so elusive nowadays. It's almost like not only do you have to be, you have to recognize that it's there and you have to be able to produce it and you have to like honor it. And that's part, all of that intention is, I think, really where I've met, like, I'm really getting it and people are seeing that I'm getting it. So then people are like, I want to learn. So we have single women, single men and couples who sign up to the Squirt Shop. Everybody wants to know about it. And I love it.
Love it. So what exactly do you do in the workshop?
Great question. Yeah. So in the workshop, we talk about unashaming these things. We talk about some anatomy. We talk about some like theory around it. We talk about questions surrounding squirt. What are people's preconceived notions? What do they hope to gain from the class? We do some instruction. We talk about different techniques. And then we have it to the point where that's like kind of the first portion and you can just do that portion of the class. And then the second portion of the class is like an actual demonstration where I show those techniques on a model, live female model. And you know, we've gotten to the point of just, there's little things I've realized, like, to help them kind of get into it. And it's almost like we talk about it and I tell them the idea of it and then I show them and then everyone can see firsthand. And we got to the point where it's like, we want the model to be really focused. So I had the idea, I was like, let's get them some over-ear headphones and a face mask or an eye mask. So that way they're not seeing anything. They can just listen to music, because I'm literally doing it to the model. And I am explaining, like, you remember when I said earlier that it's like this, and I'm like, this is it, like, and I'm doing it. But that model is not going to be taken out of her experience because she's not worried about any of that. Like they go into, like you said, that portal, that multi-orgasmic portal that you could just, it's a different headspace. And what was really interesting to me about it is like, it's altered states of consciousness. Cause I love plant medicine, hallucinogens, right? Mushroom psilocybin and ayahuasca and things like that. And it's like, these are all altered states of consciousness, and pleasure is an altered state of consciousness in the squirt. And so there's just, so we do the instruction, we do history, and then we do an actual demonstration performance. And then we've gotten to the point where it's like, we actually have opened it up where it's like, if there's any people who want to try it with me, I'll either coach you if you have somebody, or I'll do it for you. Like I will do it to you. Mm-hmm. And it's all consent. And yeah, we just talk it all out. And it's a very kind of show and tell.
Yeah, it's very, I love that. It's so beautiful. And I know a lot about this because of being in the tantric space and knowing that, like, how much women actually hold within their womb and within their yoni, and being able to release in that way all of this energy that is stuck and stagnant within their, within the yoni, without realizing that it can come from lineages or, well, like your whole lifetime of it all being trapped in here, and it's all epigenetic. And not realizing that having an experience like this, like a yoni massage, can be really liberating for somebody.
Very. You hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of stuck energy that happens, and the womb, the yoni, the root, the sacral, the power chakra, all of those. There's so much. Women especially, they have so much in their womb space, so like three chakras. And then the womb itself and how that's a portal to for life and the void. And so you'll get the gamut of responses. You'll get, you know, the moaning, the yelling, screaming, really more quiet in it, like just breathing. You'll get crying, you'll get laughing, like after, especially once the liquid and the squirt has actually come out, it's like, it's like, and you literally and figuratively will see them just melt. Like they'll just lay down. Like, they're just like, and I look like, you know, because it's like a buildup and then it's just the calm down and just like, and they, it's almost like a brain reset, a brain turn off, an altered state of consciousness, like a great night's sleep, a release, like you said. So it's really amazing to see. I love it, honestly.
Well, I love that you're able to provide that for so many women. Obviously, same. Like boundaries and those kinds of things as well would be around this, this kind of work.
Yeah.
And I think in America, because that's where you are, it's a little bit different than the regulations that we would have here in Australia that would be classified as something illegal.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure you're right. And it is, it's still in America, it is still, it's not illegal, but it's just, it's kind of like undefined territory. And it's like, we're not. But what the way we're doing it is you're not paying for sexual activity. You are paying for an event that is a learning event and that is an interactive, but it's all consent based. And it's not just because somebody pays doesn't mean that they're something specifically going to happen, because that's just, we're not agreeing to that. It's not a transaction. This is a container that we are allowing consenting adults to be able to move in a way that feels good for everyone involved and is all legal and above board. But you still are going to meet resistance, even if it's not illegal. You're going to meet resistance because people are not ready to look at that part of themselves, why they are so against it, or why talking about sex or squirt is just so triggering to them. They're not ready to look at that. They'd rather just say, you're wrong, you're bad for doing this, don't do it.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I definitely do. Because like when I was doing my tantric training, it wasn't until right until the end of all of my tantra training that we had been told that the board, which recognizes tantra, which you can be registered under to have insurance, now accepts yoni massages. So
that's good.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
But not cock worshipping or cock massages, unfortunately, yeah, aren't under that either, because those can be quite powerful for men too.
Of like course. I just got my first one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How was like it for ago. You? Tell me.
Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. I hooked up with, I linked up. We had known each other online. She's in the Tantra community in America and has done a lot of work. And then we found out we had other similarities. Like, she's a military vet as well. And were pretty close. And we were just like talking. And we said, like, let's get together. Like, we're two pretty seasoned practitioners. Like, let's see what we can offer for each other as far as, because as you elevate and rise in this, it's the amount of people just shrinks, just like, you know, and to have especially somebody who, like yourself, I'm sure you're pouring into so many people, and it's so beautiful, and it's like, that's such a gift to the world that you do that. And it's like, who's going to pour into you? Who's going to pour into the people who are pouring into everyone? And that is so important. Yeah. So yeah, me and this other practitioner were like, and I was like, I see you doing a lot of work. I would love to, you know, show you a few things about what I do and see where, and she was like, yep. And we had a great, and that was another video that did well. It was non-sexual. I have explicit, but just with her covered, like her breast covered, doing her neck and her shoulder and her face and like her breathing and like she's moaning and everything. And it's pleasurable, but it's not sexual. So we're not, and even still, you know how the Facebook and all that, but so, and then, so that was the first time we got together, and then we got together again, and she was like, all right, I want to, now it's, because we initially said we would do probably an exchange, but I told her the first time, it's okay if I just give to you this time, like just receive. And then she did want to, and then she said, so she wanted to do the cock massage and everything. And it was amazing. It was great. It was, I had somebody attempt to do it before, but they weren't experienced, and it wasn't anything like significant. And she is seasoned, perhaps. Like, it was good.
Love it. And Liliana, so how was the experience for you though?
Oh, it was amazing. It was like,
so what did you have, what happened?
Yeah,
kind of, so explain what happened.
For sure. So basically, yeah, it was just like, we do really good negotiation because of, like you said, the boundaries and the consent, and it's just people need to, and that's another thing we filmed, because we're like, let's film our boundary and consent talk, because that's vanilla and safe for work, and we can put that on any platform, and it can show people these are the types of things you need to talk about, and you don't have to talk, but this is an example, because you can't expect people to do things they've never done or seen, that they don't know how to do it. Yeah. So we did a negotiation, talked about what we're both in for and not in for. She was like, you know, basically just lay on your back and just relax, and I'm gonna, and so she started to do her thing, and she did a lot. What was really good about her, she did a lot of like praise, so verbal praise with the physical touch, which was great. And I do that too, and that's a hit. That's a hack for anybody who wants to really get more into Tantra and everything, the praise with it. And she was also really cool, because she was like, she was going to different parts right around, and she was saying like, thank this, like she was saying for me to thank that part of my body because of what it does, and she explained what it does, and then, like, she's like massaging it while she's saying what's so good about it and everything. And it's just so, like, it was great. It was very empowering and beautiful. And like, a lot of us don't, like, we have sexual and we have intimate, but a lot of people are not having like a real, like, intentional, like, honoring of their, you know, whole body, and especially their genitals. So when you get something like that, it's more different, and it's like, it's cool. It's like, this is rare. This doesn't happen like this. So, and it felt great all the way through, physically, energetically, and everything. And it was interesting, because we had talked about some stuff, and she, you know, she's a switch. She can be dominant or submissive. I'm more dominant, although I know that I actually have a tattoo that says surrender, and it's like, I know that I have to surrender too. You can't just be dominant and in control of everything. And that's another reason why I wanted to experience this with an experienced practitioner who I could trust as well. And she would because in my, especially sexual, I'm the dominant one, so I'm normally doing, or at least telling the person what to do, how I like it. Like, I can get it just how I like it. And but she's doing it, and it's like, obviously, so if I was moving a little bit, but I was really just trying to relax and let her do her thing. But and I was, you know, relaxed and not moving too much. But even still, as I started getting close to climaxing, she like turned up like basically her domination, and like there was a part where she kind of leaned forward, and she, and we got this all on video and everything too, and she like she like puts her arm, her forearm across my chest, and like just keeps doing what she's doing, like knowing that I'm getting, because you know it's obvious that I'm getting closer, and you know, through my breath and through everything, and like yeah, it was, that was just one part of it, and but we had even talked, and it was funny. I'll say that. So she, so at that, because we said we didn't, it, the climax is not the, it shouldn't be the goal. It, people put undue pressure on sex when you make it like this person has to climax in this amount of time, this many times, whatever. It just puts too much pressure on it. Sex is supposed to be fun, and it is fun. So we had talked that it's not about climax. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. We're both open to if it does or if it doesn't. You know, because sometimes people have a mental block, and even though it feels good, they it's having trouble reaching it. But so it is funny because I was getting close, and she could tell I was getting close, and then I actually didn't climax, and she kind of stopped right before, and like she kind of knew, and I told her, I was like, I was pretty close at that point. She was like, yeah, I could tell. And I was like, nobody's ever really made me a climax from just like a hand job, just their hands. And she was like, oh, she's like, if you would have told me that before, I would have made sure that, you know, she was like, I would have got you for that. I was like, I bet you would have.
I would have only done it just because of, like,
exactly. Yeah. She's like, oh, if you would have told me that.
My ego needed that.
Yeah. She's like, I have to take that prize, right? That, like, on the first one. Yeah.
She's like, I need a medal for it as well. Around with me.
Seriously, I have to start making medals.
That's so brilliant.
Yeah. But yeah, so it was a great experience. And I think, like you said, so, and I love that Australia has been a little bit go ahead to say that yoni massage is good, but cock massage, lingam massage is also very important. And it, you see, it's like, what's the difference? Why, if yoni massage is okay, which it should be, why is cock massage not? And if, or if the other way around. And you see the same thing with just in general, like with society, like women want, you women use their sex appeal first to get stuff, and men agree, and then they, and sometimes they'll be cool with it, and sometimes they'll say, oh, you're a slut, or you're using, you know, and it's like, people want it both ways. Like, if one is okay, why would the other one not be? Like, why are you shaming it just because it's not how you want it exactly to be, but you understand the power? But anyways,
I guess, like, from my perspective on, like, what you're saying is that I think as well, men, like, penetrate the world through their phallus. So in doing so, men objectify a lot more and they want to just have sex a lot more. And in my experience, men take things in a way they shouldn't take them.
Yeah.
With the, a lot of, especially if you're just, if I guess you're just a normal man who doesn't have a lot of, like, they don't really know boundaries, because in my experience is like men will push those boundaries and then they'll try to get something that's not, and it makes a woman feel uncomfortable.
I guess
that's the kind of, that's how I see it, potentially, is because it can be taken in the wrong context, I guess.
For sure.
Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, and, makes a lot of sense.
And women are vulnerable. Like, I'm only a small 5 foot.
I've seen that now. I'm like, oh, yeah.
So, you know, to be taken advantage of can be quite easy for men to do for me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, okay, where it's like, it's about honoring those boundaries. It's like feeling good in the moment of, and I guess it, I can see how it could protect a woman in a sense, like, especially if it was someone like me who was doing something on somebody who had different intentions, which I've had in my practice of, I just thought it was this. And it's like, well, I'm sorry, but that's not what it is.
Yeah.
And that's just why
hold that boundary.
I do. And this is why I have disclaimers and stuff, why people have to sign off on them. And
that makes sense.
That kind of stuff. Because I'm not down for all of that.
No, you're absolutely right. And I started realizing there's a learning curve. As you start to do this work, you realize where you have to protect yourself. And you, it's a little bit more physically and kind of with paperwork and stuff like that. And it's paperwork for me too. And it's not physically, but it's also, it's more like, especially a lot of times I'm working with women who have some type of trauma, normally sexual trauma. So now when we are addressing this trauma, it's going to bring it up. And if you're not ready to deal with it, it could feel re-traumatizing. And then they try to project that onto me, that I am traumatizing them, even though I'm doing the things that we at, the thing that we talked about. And but it's like, you almost can't like talk, know exactly how they're going to respond. So you can't necessarily plan for that, or they might not plan for that themselves. And then they're like, oh, well, even though this is what I wanted, and then they kind of feel, or if it's like, yeah. And so even though I'm not going to get taken advantage of physically, then I have to worry about the kind of mental, and I have to worry about that kind of, you know. And
do you feel like around that, what you're saying here, do you feel like that's because a lot of women struggle to take accountability?
Oh yeah, for sure. I would say, yeah, I say accountability for me is, you know, we do a lot of polarity, which I think is great. And accountability is, I would say, definitely a masculine trait. And if you want to do another type of polarity, accountability is a trait that separates children and adults. So even if it's not about masculine and feminine, it is somebody mature enough to take accountability or not? And a lot of times people are not.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's easier and safer, quote unquote, to be the victim and to say, this is not my fault. I'm being taken advantage of by the world, and this is unfair, and people are just out to get me. Yeah. And yeah, but
yeah, I feel that. And it is hard. I think as a feminine woman, it can be quite challenging to then have to go, oh shit, like right now I have to take accountability for all of this, you know, and the choices that I make, which lead me to those kinds of situations as
exactly.
well.
But at the same time, you might not have, you could have been as clear as you were, like you probably were, even if you were as clear as possible, people can still mistake it, and that's not your fault. And still, but like you said, but what it is a man crosses the boundary basically. And then you have to be like, okay, we have to stop, because they're actually crossing the boundary. And that is in that masculine energy, because they're trying to penetrate, and then you are not, it's going to be closed up, it's going to be no entry, and then it's going to be a shield up. And then that fighting energy is more masculine, even though you got the dark feminine and everything, don't get me wrong, but that, so it's like now there's a competition of the masculine energy and of boundaries and of just what people want, you know, like men, like you said, they want to have sex, and you are a beautiful feminine woman, and they're going to be attracted to that. And men who are not, like you said, they just don't know how to act. They're not going to know what to do with this. And they want it so bad. And that's great. And it's like, it's not even that flattering, but it's like, I understand that you want me, but are you able to do what is the right thing and what I want in order to have me and like deserve me and everything? And it's like,
yes, somebody, like what's necessary.
Exactly. And it's like, that's because the harder work. So they'd rather just take what they can. Yeah.
I've had that experience as well, in the sense of like men admire the femininity in women, and they're like, yes, yes, I want this. But then when they have it, they can't maintain it.
Of course.
So because the feminine isn't just black and blue like men, it's like, no, it comes with all of these other stuff of like the emotional concept of it too, of like the real dark, you know, waves of the ocean that come through and the storms that we have. And do you have that ability to stand in your strength to deal with that? And then that's what scares a lot of men away from a woman who is really feminine, because he will then, it's like he desires it. So, but he'll also go off and kind of look for other women, it in other women too, instead of appreciating and standing in his power of what he actually has here. It's almost like they're scared a little bit.
Yeah, from scared my perspective. Of the depth. You know, you're absolutely right.
It's almost
like
they're scared of the depth. They'll want it, they crave it, they have it, but then they get scared, and then they'll start looking at the feminine in other women, you know?
Yeah. Of course, it's like if women were the ocean, you have somebody who's drawn to the ocean, they want to go out there, but then they're not ready, and they're out there in a paddle boat in the middle of the ocean and the waves, and now it's scary, and now they drown, now they don't know what to do. And it's like, it's what we were talking about earlier, women have this sexual power, we know that. Women, the female of almost all animal and mammal species has the sexual selection of who's going to mate. They pick it, and that happens in the human race too. And so it's like what you're saying, a man could be, this is why sex work and prostitution and stripping and everything, that divine feminine is the oldest profession, because men
wanted, they've always wanted it, they've always been willing to pay for it, and women have always known they've had it. And then, so you'll have a man who's at a strip club who, when he's got the money, he's paying the money to the stripper, and when she's playing it up and using her, what she knows that she's got, and he's paying and then selling the fantasy. And then if the man tries to cross the boundary and like really wants to have sex, for example, and then the woman is like, well, no, then it's, oh, fuck you, you're a bitch, you're a slut. You know, even though that's what I was attracted to all your femininity and your beauty and how you're using it until you're not giving me what I want. And now it's, you know, so it's, they just have that dissonance, and they just, like you said, they can't quite understand how to hold it and how to do it. A lot of them.
No, they don't. And I see that in like relationships too, in the sense of like being able to hold that feminine and not actually, I guess, go off into other women to source out, because you're not really appreciating or accepting the full feminine, you know, what she can provide you. Mm. And it's like not respecting that or loving that. It's like, oh, I'll conditionally love you to this point. But anything after that, I'm sorry, I can't do it. Because if you act like that, I'm going to go off here and I'm going to find somebody else who can give me just enough. Yeah. And then it's never enough for them. And it's like this deep healing that I've had to realize in men that needs to happen of how can I really hold these women in this huge spectrum of who they actually are, and respect them and honor them and love them, not just like this layer of she's beautiful and objectifying and she may have a little bit of emotion, but then if it's too far over into the real darkness, you can't do it.
Absolutely. There's a good quote that says, find a man who loves the moon, because he'll love you in all your stages. And women are a representation of the moon. That's why we call it the moon time medicine and the moon cycle. Women have 28, or there's 28 days in the women's cycle, and there's 28 days in the lunar cycle. And so that I actually have a tattoo right here that has a 13, and it's got a little mirror, and the 13 is for Friday the 13th, which used to be an ode to the goddess. And it's like, because there's 13 moon cycles and 13 periods, not 12, so it was the 13th. But so men have seen, it's like they are attracted to it, but they're not able to hold it. And like you said, there's just so much conditionality, especially in a world now that's built on instant gratification. It's like, you're too emotional. Yes. I can just walk away from you, even though I love you and you do so many other good things. I could just go and I can go online and I can see whatever, and I can get that sexual gratification from a stranger or from somebody I know and whatever. But people are not, they're not there to hold all of it. And it's like, again, if they haven't gone that depth to hold themselves, the deepest, darkest part of themselves, they're not going to be able to hold a deep, dark other person, especially a woman. Who women, the womb and the void is the darkness. That women create life from nothing, from darkness, from nothingness. They create life. And it's like the birth, death, and what women can create, and women can create these strong feelings, and they love it when it's a feeling that they like. The men, they love it when it's a feeling they love, and when they're getting what they want from you, you're the best thing ever. And then when they're not getting what they want from you, then it's like, you know, I don't want to deal with you. Yeah, exactly. And it's like people are just scared, and but that's scared of commitment and scared of, like I said, their own depths as well. So we definitely need to be teaching that, and that's another thing I'm continuing to teach, that because it's a safety, going back to what you said before, that I provide, that really is big. It's a safety, and it's just a holding. And it's just like, I just, like you said, the mess, I just allow them to be the mess, because we're all messy. Mm-hmm. Women are just a little bit more open to expressing their feelings more open, like outwardly and like publicly. So people say that women are emotional, but we're all emotional. Men are plenty emotional. If a man goes off and kills somebody because they said the wrong thing to him, that's emotional too. They just because you're not crying doesn't mean you're not emotional. Right? We're all emotional creatures, and women are so just honest about it that can scare people who are not ready to talk about and deal with their own emotions at that level.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful, like the journey that it gets to happen. Like, and I do feel like on both spectrums that there is a healing that needs to happen on the feminine side and the masculine side. Cool. But there's only so far that a woman can take herself without having that masculine hold her as well.
Yeah.
You know, what in is... this in in this as well. And I love that you brought some of this stuff up, because I know we've previously talked around the like being going on like social media and looking and this instant gratification, that kind of stuff. And I know we spoke about that before around like boundaries and all of that. Like for me personally, when a man does something like that, I lose respect for you.
Yeah, you're done.
Because it's like you're just like, you're not like fulfilling this feminine in me. You're not respecting me and you're not honoring me who in all of my spectrum.
Yeah.
It's almost like you only want a part of this.
That's exactly what it's like.
What I can provide.
And what they like the most. Yep.
I hear a thing, it's called conditional love.
That's
so it's
exactly.
like it comes with conditions. It's like, oh yeah, I'll love you until this point. And then if I'm not getting those needs met in this other way, then, and if you're too crazy, then I'm going to look like go on social media and get my dopamine hit that way instead, you know, and
absolutely.
Serotonin levels and whatever else and lust and whatever else it brings up in a man.
Yep. They say that. Yeah, everyone is walking around looking for unconditional love while carrying a bag of conditions. And it's like, we want to be loved unconditionally, but if we are not doing that for other people, how can we expect? And it's just like you said, it's very conditional. And it's something that's been coming up a lot, because relationship is really all life's about, in the fractal nature of the universe, relationship to self, relationship to God, relationship to the universe, relationship to the planet, relationship to other people. And all your relationship is all that matters. So when you're talking about relationship and you're talking about the conditions, you have, especially familial connections, a lot of times people will want to kind of call it quits and everything, and you just can't, because your family, you're going to be each other's family regardless. Maybe you're going to continue to live together while you're growing up or whatever age you are, and it's like you're going to see them at family events or whatever. So it's like, even if you wanted to cut them out of your life, you can't. And we have that familial bond. And what I have noticed and what I have found is, if we can take that same like commitment level to always be a part of each other's lives in some form or fashion, knowing that it could change, but having that and without the obligation, but almost the power of that familial bond obligation, but it's not even an obligation, because we're choosing to do it. And when you're choosing that to me is what has created some of the most beautiful connections that I have currently in my life, and long ones. I have, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 plus year connections that are just, that are not family, that are just, you know, they're the best. But you're never going to have that if you're just having the conditions. And it's like, I will only love you or be this good to you if you serve me in this specific way. And that's how a lot of people are. And especially it's that sexual energy too. It's like, if I'm getting that sexual energy from you, and once you take it away, now I'm gonna, you know, go and even I'm not gonna wonder about what I'm doing that made you want to take it away. Or maybe it has nothing to do with me and I'm just being selfish, and maybe I just need to listen to you and hear you, so that way you can then feel better. And then I have found, I even had one experience where I had a woman I was with, her ex was doing like revenge porn. He was like posting and saying, oh, like I'm going to send this to your family. And he was actually posting stuff online. And long story short, I helped her with that situation in a really good way. But in the middle of it, we got a hotel room, because he had literally gone to her house with a knife. I was there for a week.
Wow.
I left, and within an hour or something of me leaving, he goes to her house, tries to break in with a knife. I come back. She had already called the cops. He had already left. We're like, obviously, we're not going to stay here. We're going to get a hotel. We're going to figure all this out. We're doing everything. I'm protecting her. And she's obviously very upset that he's posting stuff about her and everything. And so we're in the hotel after a long, crazy day where a lot of this stuff happened, and just helping her and everything. And, you know, she almost like apologizes, like we were just laying, cuddling and touching and, you know, but not like sexually, just like intimately cuddling. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry. I just don't feel like in the mood to have sex and everything. And I was like, no, we don't have to have sex. I was like, I'm chilling. I was like, I didn't even bring it up. She just internally felt that. And I was like, don't worry. We had a long day. It's crazy. You don't owe me anything. Like you don't have to apologize. You didn't even have to say that, but I'm hearing what you're saying. And I just talked through it with her, and it was cool. And then what happens about 30 minutes later,
she's turned on and she wants to have sex, and we do have sex because the safety was there and the obligation wasn't there, and it wasn't about, oh, you're only as good as the sex you provide for me. It was, no, I actually care about you as a human and as a person, and I love you and support you, especially in this difficult time. And then that's like they say, like death is one of the ultimate aphrodisiacs, because if you're about to die, then you don't, and you're like, whew, I need to be living. And sometimes we feel the most alive when we're close to death or when we're in extreme pleasure or pain. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful, actually. Yeah. It's like, oh, like for her, very like, much wholesome in a way. It is sad in a little way for a woman to feel as though she has to apologize.
Exactly.
For
that's
not
all, like,
providing something for a man. And like that's the where our mind will go.
Value.
It's like, oh, because you have protected me and provide for me and like have done all this for me today, that I have to provide that sexually for you. It's like, whoa, like that's, I feel for her in that way.
Yeah.
Conditional, you know. So I definitely, I was like, oh, wow. But I've been, it reminds me of the first time that I had ever had a cosmic orgasm. Mm. And it was a very similar kind of like experience where I was like, no, this isn't happening. And then it kind of just happened because he was like, oh, that's fine. You're not going to push that.
Yeah.
And and it was a very, very crazy, amazing, beautiful. And that was the start of my tantric journey of like, wow, I've got to teach everybody like what this means and how beautiful it is and how healing it can be. Like the journey of sexual energy and how it can open up. It was almost like I was in a portal and I was going through my own healing journey while it was happening. And I'm like crying one minute, and then I'm like,
I told you,
you know, laughing the next. And then like he was like shifting, like his face was changing. Like,
oh yeah, really, oh damn, you were having a full on psychedelic sexual transcendent experience. That's dope. I love those. Are so, you can't, it's almost like you can't even explain it all the way to people. Like you have to show people and they have to have their own experience. But that's one thing I love about ayahuasca. But I wanted to ask you, so what is your whole like experience and take on, you know, squirting and orgasms and, like you said, energetic orgasms, but specifically the squirt, how that relates?
What my take is on it?
Yeah, your take on it, your experience and how you feel about it, what you teach or think about it.
I genuinely think a lot of women, from my perspective, are quite restricted in this area. Same. And one, they don't even really know where their I forgot what it's called.
G-spot, A-spot.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're
G-spot
welcome.
Is.
There's like I three remember, or four spots. G-spot, A-spot, P-spot, and C-spot. And that's what we talk about in the class, one of the things in the squirt shop. Go ahead.
I love it. But I definitely feel like a lot of women are quite stuck in this area, but I think a lot of women are stuck in that area because they've never truly been with somebody who's safe enough to experience
it. The safety is really what it comes down to.
And or that they're safe in their own body. So like in my own experience, I could be safe in my own body, but if I'm not feeling safe with that person, then I'm not going to squirt, or I'll have a limited amount of that happening, you know, because I'm like, something's not right here. We haven't really gone to the depths of like my own heart and really opened me up. And I think it's a journey to get there. It's not about, oh, I can just do it right now and she should be open and she should be this. It's like, I'm sorry, but it actually takes time. It can take up to like 45 minutes to open her up.
Can I tell you on that point, I completely agree. And I tell people that I'm like, there's a warm-up period and use that warm-up period. But I have gotten to the point now where I could, and not that you want to force it, and not that I'm really forcing it, but I have just got it down with both established, experienced partners that I have been with and completely new people, like people who came to the squirt shop that I just met them that day, and having them squirting in like 3 to 5 minutes, like very quickly, and it's like not rushing it, but at the same time. So like, we did one squirt shop where I had like five or six women that wanted me to make them squirt, and we only have so much time. It's like, so you don't want to rush it, but you also want to. And so I wasn't rushing it, but I was, and it really is the intuition of the body. Like, I can, and people can teach themselves to feel what the body will talk to you. That's why I do so much with somatic healing and somatic knowledge, because our body has so much information and wisdom. And so when you're in the yoni is going to be communicating with you through your hands and through your just so many, all of your senses, right? You're going to be able to see that it's getting wet. You're going to be able to hear it getting more wet. You're going to be able to feel it getting more wet, smell it and taste it even. And that one doesn't always necessarily happen with clients, because obviously that's a whole next level. But at any rate, it's like, it can happen fast, but it all is to say, how quickly can they be safe? And I've noticed the same thing with just doing massage, like just back massage, no sexual mm-hmm. touching, no mm-hmm. yoni touching. Some people come in stiff, whether it's our first time doing a session or they just are, and then you will feel them and see them relax, and they'll just, and it takes, sometimes it's like real quick, and sometimes it takes them a good 10, 20, 30 minutes. So you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've noticed that with my like tantric massage when I massage some people, and some people just don't know how to let go. I feel like some people are so disconnected from their body that even one massage can't open them up enough. That I feel like a lot of women these days are very disconnected from their physical body, so that they're not even recognizing the signs of, you know, how you're saying, like, there's so much that your body can tell you.
Yeah.
A lot of women don't even recognize what their body is actually telling them. Really? And like, they will just, like, you know, give men sex because it makes them feel, it's like, I have to give it to him because he provides this for me, but it doesn't feel good for me. Yeah, and then my body I'll start getting like thrush, or I'll start getting like all of these symptoms, but I don't recognize that that's the reason why it's happening.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of like under the surface stuff happening that lot of women don't recognize because they're just so disconnected from their physical body, from their heart, from like shutting down their heart, from like disconnected from their yoni and their womb, and then on top of that, their physical body. Yep. So the depth of which they can actually go is not really that deep. Yep. You know, it's just like surface level clitoral stimulation, and then cool. You know?
Exactly.
It's like in a matter of like a minute or two.
I'm done. We have a diagram of the clitoris, and like we show people, like, people think like the clit is just like this little thing. Tell people that, and we just educate them, and it's like, but like you said, depending on how much they're in their body. So that's why one of my big practices is embodiment. And that's why I want to keep on teaching people how to be embodied in their own body through their own experience. Like, I'm be like, this is basically a blueprint. You don't have to do it exactly like I'm doing it, because this is what feels good for me. These are some ideas. Mm-hmm. Make it yours. And I think that's what's powerful when people like you and I are teaming up, whether it's online or in person, because we're going to be able to talk to everybody. I'm going to be able to talk to the men very clearly, and you're going to be able to talk to the women very clearly, and then we're going to be able to talk to the opposites. It's all going to be very clear communication, and we're going to show. And oftentimes you will see in this space, when you get, as you keep getting into these different, you know, communities, like, it's the people who are really that you resonate with, like energetically and emotionally and mentally. You will also find physically, you'll be like, damn, these people are gorgeous. Like, you are gorgeous. I'm like, of course you would be in touch with you. And it's like, but you see, and then like, you literally get a bunch of gorgeous people together in a room. There's going to be some sexy, great stuff happening, because it's just like it's going to be safe, and it's going to be just feeling good. And people are going to be turned on in all the ways. They're, you know, there. And I teach stuff people about that embodiment, and like, smell is another big one that I teach about embodiment. Yes. That's why I am holistic and natural. And I tell people, you are trying to find your partner, sexual or romantic, and you are literally masking your scent and making it harder for them to smell you out, literally. And they're also making it harder for themselves, but people are making it harder. Simplify it and focus on your, if you feel like you smell, you need to focus on your diet. And you need to be getting those toxins out, because you won't smell if your diet, and we are going to have a scent, but pheromones are a very real thing, and they literally clue you in, your body's somatic.
Were we talking about that did we speak about that, or was that somebody else? Maybe I was speaking with
I think we had, but I do remember
having this conversation. I thought, like, you know, all the cologne and the perfume, but then on top of that is the pill, and using the pill because it was in my other podcast I did, but
yeah, did you talk about how like the pill is making women more attracted to feminine men?
Yes.
I knew it. Yeah.
But it's true. It's like all of this. Like, I personally haven't been on the pill for like 13 years. I was so glad that I haven't done anything in that area for such a long time, because I definitely believed that it was having an effect on me physically. But then long term, over time, I realized how much it can mask and your progesterone and estrogen levels. It's all all mixed up. So you're going after men who can't show up for you in that strength, can't show up for you in this really strong, grounded, masculine way, because we are masking it all. And like you said, all of the pheromones and stuff like that, I've had girlfriends who have gone, I just don't like his breath. And I'm like, well, that's a sign, isn't it?
That's an easy sign. That's like, Dave, like, figure that out first date. Do a kiss on the first date, just
so
you know.
Can you just, like, breathe into my mouth?
Like, come here, real quick. Just breathe. It's okay. Don't make it weird. Like, if we can't do this, then we're not, you know. But it's true, though.
Just go around smelling all of the guy
but honestly, if people did that, and you know what's funny is, if we took more lessons from animals, what do animals do, especially dogs, when they meet each other? They sniff each other's butts and everything. They're sniffing. They're using their powers to see, and it doesn't have to be completely sexual. It literally is like, I'll even say this. So, like, as I started to go really natural and like no deodorant and everything like that, and I think we have internalized shame that we smell, like, even just because because we have a scent doesn't mean we smell. And sometimes we do. And everybody does smell. Like, we all have stinky parts, right? Feet and every, you know what I mean? It's fine. But you can clean and everything. And so, but anyways, I'm going natural. And, you know, my mom at some point, she's trying to broach the subject with me. And she's just like, you smell, like, maybe you should use I know you don't want to use a natural deodorant or deodorant. Uh-huh. Maybe you could just use. And I'm like, I feel what you're saying. I'm like, it's in what you're saying is valid, but let me also tell you, there are people that I literally meet, who strangers, who will be like, you smell so good, like, what are you wearing? And I'll be like, I have a little bit of hair product, like this cream product, but I literally don't have anything, like coconut oil maybe, but, and I have like had partners, sexual, romantic, that want to smell my armpits, like in my armpits.
I've
like,
done that.
I'll get
in there and I'll sniff, and I'm just like,
right,
and it's like invigorating, and the energy just goes through my body. It's so fucking good.
Seriously.
And then sometimes I remember I said to a guy, like, when I had this cosmic orgasm, I was like, god, you smell so good, you need to sell that in a bottle.
Yes, exactly.
I was like, can we just like drip your sweat into a bottle, and like, I need
What people don't understand about that is, that's like, you could even like Pavlov, like Pavlovian response, right? He had the dogs, he rang the bell when every time he gave them meat. So then when he just rang the bell, they would start salivating because they know they're about to get meat. Yeah. So when you have this high sexual orgasmic pleasure and then a scent that's very singular, because we all have a singularity about our scent, and they smell that, that's going to be, now when they smell you again, that their body's going to remember it. Their body's going to be like, oh yeah, I know what this is about. Yeah. And they're going to, you know, so I've literally had like in kind of missionary position, me on top, and yeah, like, putting either they wanted to or I wanted to, or we both put my armpit over their face and just hold them there and keep on while they're orgasming and everything. And it's like you know, but this is what this orgasm feels like, it smells like, all right? So just so you want to know what squirting smells like,
it smells like this.
And then I'm gonna leave you a t-shirt that smells like me, so you can like touch yourself after I leave and while you're smelling it.
Start going to the gym and sweating your ass off in t-shirts, and then you hand them out to all the women.
That's what I gotta do.
They can have like pleasure during the day. Like, but it is like that. Like, for me as a woman, when I smell a man who smells like really great, it goes through my body and literally, I can feel it.
It is
like it's so fucking pleasurable throughout my whole body, and it can just come from a smell.
It's amazing. You got to think, you have olfactory senses in your brain. I literally, and the same way you feel, that's how I feel with a woman, especially like Yoni. I will be like, it's almost like an animalistic switch in my brain flips, and like, I'm not out of control or anything, but it's just like, that is the smell, and I know what that is, and I love it, and I'm ready to go, like, you know. And it's just like, and then if you do have somebody who, you know, you guys have established all that, the boundaries and everything, where you can kind of unleash a little bit on them. Like, I have women who I've had women say, you're so like voracious, like ravenous, like just devouring them, and they just love it. And I love it too. But it's like, we're just tapping into that primal need. And people didn't shame it, if they just said, this is just part of our human and animal nature, and this is natural, it's okay. And they would be able to be in that pleasure more.
Around that, I think what people misunderstand as well is there's a concept here where you're saying it's very animal. However, I think when you tap into that and provide that safe, secure space, you are going beyond the animal. It's not just that animal, because people think, oh, I do that all the time, you know, I'm just having sex. But it's so base, it's so surface level, but there's these other levels to it where I believe a lot of society has not tapped into. And then, you know, which is because the primal, it's like being addicted to porn and all of these other kinds of things.
Well,
that's the low end
or toxic primal.
There's like this other primal which also incorporates the spiritual side of it and the connection with own energy that you're able to bring into it, not just the physical. It goes beyond that. And I don't really know how to explain that very well.
It's a difference between desire and reverence. Like, the desire, of course you're going to want it because it's so good, but do you revere it? Do you honor it? Do you love it? Just like you said about the woman, it's like, of course you're going to want sex. That's you're going to desire it. That's not new or special. Are you going to revere her, especially even when she really needs you and she's in a more vulnerable space? So
yes. And like, can you show up as that really grounded, present man consistently? Because I know that women are very dependent on men to provide that sense of security and safety for women. And if that's not being provided for, good luck trying to get her to have a squirt. Good luck trying to bring her so open and liberating her through her heart and her womb and her whole body. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen if you can't show up in that way for her either.
You're absolutely right. You know? And like you said earlier, if the women haven't been able to show up for themselves and find their own security and safety, then if they're only putting it on the masculine, it probably is never going to be enough, because they don't have it within themselves and they're only looking for somebody to provide it. But like you, if you have a woman like you who has found it in themselves, and then they can recognize it in another person, and then you can get to that squirting and that celestial orgasm and that transcendent portal where you're just doing something, who knows, you know, seeing colors and shapes.
That's exactly what it was like psychedelic. Morphing the face.
I love that.
Like morphing the face, and then in one moment I was like, oh my god, like it was like my father. I know it sounds really creepy while you're having sex, it was like this very masculine, very supportive energy. It was like, wow. I feel like you've really helped me in this space.
Yeah.
But then, like, sometimes I know, obviously, like with ayahuasca and doing
plants. I was going to ask, have you done ayahuasca? Like
I have, I went to Peru, actually.
Nice, me too.
it was amazing. I loved it. It was such a great experience. And like doing things like that, it's the aftermath, all of the stuff that comes up to the surface that you're going to have to deal with. Your abandonment wounds, you know, abuse, any of that kind of stuff is like, it's so important for this transition to integrate what you've experienced into that. And these cosmic orgasms are exactly the same, because I went through a period where I blamed that guy for making me have this experience.
Oh, really?
Because it was like, why did you open me and then abandon me and blah, yeah. blah, blah. But it was like, yeah, wow, that was my own wounds, and I needed yeah. to like really sit, you know. And it is something that I think we all have our own stuff, and I have my own stuff of things that I'm still dealing with, and, you know, still recognizing inside myself of, you know, my childhood stuff. And it does come up in our relationships. It comes up in our sexual experiences.
Absolutely.
Especially when you go deep.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. You're absolutely right. And yeah, you're exactly right. Cause when you're talking about, those orgasms, like, cause some people there's just the physical good feeling of the orgasm, but then there's the energetic and spiritual sexual energy that is creative energy that you can create any reality you want. And it's like, if you're deep and you're in touch with that, you can help to move that. But if you're just doing it just for the sexual and just the gratification, and you're just letting, and that's mm-hmm. all you're using mm-hmm. it for, then you are going to be missing out on those things. And yeah, I find it, I could talk about this stuff all day, hours.
Me too. So funny, me too. But I did, like, I agree with you. There's things here where once you tap into this energy and all of this experience, it's really hard to go back to anything else.
Yes.
You don't feel satiated.
Yeah, satisfied, satiated.
You don't feel that at all. Nope. Because it's just so basic. Because you just know that there's so much more out there that
once you know better, you can do better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There is a question that I did also want to ask you, because I know that you are in a polyamorous relationship. What does that look like for you? I kind of want to have other women understand just explain it to us, please.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, I'm in a polyamorous. It's so interesting, because there's a book called Polysecure, and it has a graph that shows all these various ways that people can and do polyamory. And it's like, some people are sexually open and emotionally still monogamous or exclusive. Some people are emotionally open but not sexually, and some people are both, and some people are it's just very, everyone does it different, and there's all these different terms, and people have to get familiar with these terms when they're talking about it. But really, humans, we just have this incessant kind of need to like box everything in and classify it, because we want it to make sense in our brain. But the way I do relating is basically just based on freedom and autonomy, respect, honesty, love, unconditional love. So I currently have, and it's been flexing. Currently, my real polyamorous relationship is with Bree, who's about to have my baby. We have a few more months and she's going to have my baby.
Congratulations.
Thank you, which is so exciting. And like, I had wanted more kids, and I still was like, man, I don't know if I want to do the whole marriage and kids thing like that again, because it didn't work out the first time, and I don't want to, you know. And I was like, what situation? I want more kids, but I don't know what situation will be one that I, and this just ended up being the one that is. So that's my main partner, what you could call main partner. But again, when you're going into terminology, there's a thing called like non-hierarchical polyamory, because some polyamory is hierarchical, where people on a higher tier or the highest tier can veto or affect the relationships of the lower tiered person, quote unquote. And there's a lot of thought in that's a little dehumanizing and unfair in a way. And of course, like somebody who's like your life partner, your anchor partner, someone you live with, your nesting partner, of course, they're going to have a say with stuff that really directly affects them and their living situation. And still, just because you have been there longer doesn't mean that you should veto something about a relationship that has nothing, that doesn't really have anything to do with you. You know, so I am more of that non-hierarchical. Nobody can veto. Let's just all talk. In our own personal relationships, I don't need to talk for two other people. You guys can talk because you guys have a relationship. I have a relationship with each of you. We all need to talk and have our own relationship. So that's how I do it. I did quasi have another like more main nesting partner. With all of the just pregnancy and everything, Bree and I are kind of like we're taking a little space, not like completely dissolving, but like, so it's very, like we've said before, it's very nuanced and nebulous and flexing, and like I knew this other partner before Bree, you know, and so this is how it happens, and it's that unconditional love. It's like when we're starting out, and any new person who I'm considering, not even considering, but just explaining how I do it, and because for me, I'm open to all the beautiful connections of life. Like I'm open, any person I meet, like you, for example, I would be open for all of the things that we both want, like that feels good for us. And if that was just a friendship, I would love it. And if it was romantic, I would love it. If it was a business partnership, I would love it. And if it was some combination of these, I'm just open for it all. And I'm not attached to it being a certain way. So that's how I'm moving. And then when I'm getting to know a person, I tell them this is how, like, if they have the emotional capacity and forward thinking to ask me a question that can prompt me to explain to them, this is how I do it. And that just comes from them asking. And I would be honest, and I would say, this is how I do it. And people have to be honest about, you know, there's only so much time we have. Like time is our most precious resource, one of our most precious. And it gets, especially when relationship, our time, who and where we're spending our time and what we're doing becomes the biggest, like one of the biggest focuses. So I do it very open, honest. People are free to do what they want as long as they're not directly negatively affecting somebody. And sometimes though, people can feel like it's affecting them, and it's not necessarily, and it's all about conversation, open communication, honesty, and freedom and autonomy and unconditional love.
Yeah. Okay. Very interesting. I know that, I'm not sure if you heard of like Ori Marcus.
Yeah.
Have you heard of him? He was in like a polyamorous relationship for years, and then he like stopped that, and now he's like only devoted to his wife now.
Yeah.
So I'm just like very curious on how, I guess, like Bree, for example, you know, how does she navigate that with you as well? Is she poly? Does she have another person? Or, you know, maybe we'll just start there.
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, no. So she met me and pretty much became poly, was willing to do the poly, and not just for me, but she was in two long-term monogamous relationships. But while in even the first one, she realized that she had a bit of a poly heart, but she never really just went into it and tried it. And then when her and I got together, I was open about this is how I am. And then she was like, well, this is where I'm coming from, and I'm open to trying. And so, and currently she doesn't have any other partners, especially with her cooking the baby. Her focus is directly on that, and she didn't have anyone significant before that. And honestly, for her, a lot of people don't excite her in the way that I do. So she doesn't feel like she's missing out on anything. And I've noticed this with the polyamorous stuff and just men and women and the differences, and, you know, even monogamous relationships where people are cheating, which both everyone cheats, but it seems to definitely be that men have just, especially the physical cheating, because women can do maybe more emotional or the same amount or whatever, but, and it doesn't need to be a war. There's definitely, my thing is going back to the kind of the animalistic and just kind of the human nature of it. The men is penetrating the world. The man is trying to breed, and the women are selecting who they are allowing. And in my estimation, there are more queens that are out there in the world than there are kings. And this is just my own opinion. And so I think there's a shortage. There's a shortage of good men, and that's not, I don't personally even care about that. It's not even my own experience. It's only what I have heard and understanding from women who I can't have their experience. And that's what they're telling me. So it's harder for, in my opinion, it's harder for especially a heterosexual woman to have multiple partners. Not that it's impossible by any sense. It's just harder to even find. Like, I literally had a conversation with somebody the other night, and she was just like, we had a phone conversation. It was great. And she was just like, you literally can just talk. Like, we can actually have a conversation, and it doesn't even have to be about whether it is about sexual, but without that. And she's like, so many men can't even have just a regular conversation. Forget a sexual conversation or a vulnerable or an emotionally intelligent conversation. Mm-hmm. Forget that. Just a regular conversation. So it's harder. So Bree, she is open to it, and I am open to her doing her thing. You know, again, with all of this honesty and respect and everything. And it's about trusting somebody, you know, like, are you trusting them to make the decisions that are going to be okay for them and good for them? And yeah, so we have a good way of doing that.
I have something around that. You're saying making the best decision for, like, let's say your connection and your sacred connection with Bree.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, is that person that I'm choosing here going to be of service to that connection? Is that how you see it? From my perspective, when it comes around this, like, tantric space, you're bringing energy from other women into those sacred connections that you also have as well. It's like, it's not just, this, I'm just spreading everywhere and it's okay to do whatever. And do you understand what I'm saying?
Getting I out? Definitely understand what you're saying. Yeah. And I believe that. And I also think that when you're talking about sharing energy, we are all bumping into each other and sharing energy by existing next to each other. Our fields are out much further than we realize. They're overlapping, they're penetrating. Obviously, sexual is very deep, and it's very, to me, it comes down to, does somebody have strong boundaries? Are they able to be at home in their own energy, recognize when there is other energy that's affecting them, and block it, return it, not transfer it. So it's just about people's awareness of their energy and of how others are mixing. And yeah, I am trusting Bree that the people that she, regardless of not even romantic or sexual, just the people that she is putting her energy into and getting energy from, that those are people that she's trusting it. And I'm trusting her. So if I trust her and she trusts them, by transitive property, I trust them. Not the same way I trust Bree, but, and there is a little bit of hierarchy. There's a little bit of consideration. Like, somebody who new comes along, and I'm not just going to throw Bree to the side because whatever. It's especially, you got the new relationship energy, NRE. But I do want to talk about what you said kind of about, like, going, like, that guy, Aubrey Marcus, he went from polyamorous to the monogamous. And I can definitely understand, like, a lot of that. And for me, it's like, people get so caught up on the labels. Monogamous, there's only so many people that you can spend so much time with. So monogamous is going to be, you're basically the person you spend the most amount of time, if it's a romantic or sexual partner. When that feels really good, you're not going to, like you said, to your credit, a guy who just wants to go get the dopamine hit on the internet from some other, that's unattractive to you, because you're like, we could have that, you know, you wouldn't even need it. But so I do think, and I do find myself, like, and that's why I'm not like actively looking, I don't care to get another partner. I'm not trying to collect as many partners as I can. But even still, I have that list of, these are things, like, basic things that I would even need to before I would consider partnership. And this disqualifies so many people. And it's not, and people get all triggered and all mad and, oh, you think you're better than everybody. You think you can have these standards and what makes you, yada, yada, yada. Listen, you don't have to like it. Nobody has to like it. We won't, obviously, are not a fit. If you don't like these things, and these are important to me, where obviously we don't even have to have the conversation. You don't have to take it any type of way that I'm saying that this is not for me. It's just not for me. So for me, I'm seeing how I see both sides, all sides. I see the toxic side of polyamory, and I see the whole healed side of it. And the toxic side is going to have the cheating, and it's going to have the, let me go find a fresh new toy, and I can distract myself with this shiny new thing. And then the whole side is going to, it's harder to find that. And that's what I'm looking
for. That can happen anyway in a monogamous relationship. Exactly. Let me go find a shiny new thing.
Exactly.
You know, like, oh, I'm just going to utilize porn and Instagram and OnlyFans and all this other kind of stuff. And let me see where I can, you know, give my energy to, instead of honoring the women in your life anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
I completely agree. And yeah, I think we have to continue to talk, because porn, that's a big one that it's all the social media. Porn is just one version of social media. And but yeah, we have to teach men and women to be embodied, to be understanding of their energy, to be more intentional. We have to give them tools, and that's what I'm here to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
We could probably talk for hours and hours, but I hope that this has like really helped a lot of people to understand a lot about what you do and what you give the world. And
thank you.
I had many more questions for you, so we're gonna have to probably have to do like a whole nother episode.
We'll do a series.
Yeah. I love that. So good. One question I do want to ask before you go is, what do you, hold on a sec.
Oh, no worries.
Okay, so what do you believe is one thing all women should know about men?
Wow.
Last question.
That's a great question. Holy crap. I love a good question. What do I think all women should know about
men? Let's help some women care.
Say again?
Let's help some women out there.
Yes, you're right. Yes, let's help some. What do I think they all need to know about men? Just give me a sec. Let me really feel into this one. I want women to know that you need to find a man, and when you do, any man, and you need to understand how they treat themselves is how they're going to treat you, is how they treat their mother, is how they're going to treat you, how they treat this waiter, is how they're going to treat you. How they treat other people when you observe them, how they treat other people is how they treat people, because especially when there's not the sexual stuff. So, and how they treat themselves. So a man who shows that he doesn't have self-control and discipline, and I'm going to say it, mm-hmm. a man who doesn't take care of his body, who doesn't take care of his house, who doesn't take care of his car, his animals, whatever it is, like if he's not physically in at least decent shape, you know, just how there's a quote that says, how we do anything is how we do everything. So everything's a fractal, everything's a nature. So I would really tell the women to pay attention to their choice, how their choice, the man's choices is reflected in his body, in his energy, in his circle, and in his existing connections.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I just want to say as well, like, I really appreciate you thinking about that so deeply and being able to share that with us. And oh, it's such a beautiful gift to be able to leave all these women with. So I just honor you and I appreciate you. And I appreciate you giving me your time and sharing that with anyone who's going to listen to this. So
yes.
Yeah.
We'll definitely chat again. I'm going to take that question and I'm going to probably make some more posts and I'm going to tag you on it. We're going to keep that conversation going. And maybe let's clip that and let's make it happen.
I can clip it on this. So it's good.
It's really been a pleasure. Good. Thank you so much. We'll keep chatting. Absolute we can hop off pleasure. Of here and I'll probably text you because we have the energy flowing.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Sisterhood podcast. For more great resources, in-person and online workshops, find us at alphayoni.com, Instagram, The Goddess of Love, and Facebook under Shani Lee. See you next time.